Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the partial release of Mitt Romney's tax returns that could make him the poster boy for the 1% in this election. Jeffrey Winters joins us. He's a professor of political science at Northwestern University and the author of the new book, Oligarchy. He has written an article at the Huffington Post, Romney, a nobody amongst the ultra-wealthy, but rich enough to stick out as president. We will discuss the American oligarchy, of which Mitt Romney is apparently a junior member. Then Max Blumenthal joins us. He is an award-winning investigative journalist, a Puffin writing fellow at the Nation Institute, and an investigative reporter with the Lebanese-based Al-Akhbar English, where he's written The Bibi Connection, an investigative report that outlines a shadow campaign by Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu to defeat Obama and help elect a Republican president. Then finally, since Newt Gingrich has made a campaign issue out of food stamps, repeatedly referring to Barack Obama as a food stamp president, we will speak with Timothy Casey, a senior staff attorney with Legal Momentum, the nation's oldest legal defense and education fund dedicated to advancing the rights of all women and girls. We will get a fact check on food stamps and the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, known as SNAP. And joining us now is Jeffrey Winters, a professor of political science at Northwestern University. He's the author of the new book, Oligarchy, and he has a piece in the Huffington Post recently, Romney, a nobody among the ultra-wealthy, but rich enough to stick out as president. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jeffrey Winters.
Thank you very much, Ian. It's good to be back.
And with the release today of Mitt Romney's 2010 and a partial or incomplete 2011 tax returns, we learned that Romney paid 13.9% tax on a substantial amount of money, I think $26 million in 2010 and 14.5% in 2011 on a similar amount of money. What's your reaction to that, and what do you think the American people's reaction will be?
Well, it shows a number of things. One is that Mitt Romney is enormously wealthy, very unusual among American presidents were he to be elected in 2012. His wealth position would place him as number two in U.S. history. Only George Washington would be more wealthy than Mitt Romney. So if we look at a tax rate like that, I mean, the first thing I would say is that I'm paying more than twice the tax level that Mr. Romney is. And one of the reasons is that he makes his money exclusively from his money. He doesn't work for it. People like this, that I call oligarchs in the United States, have arranged things so that their taxes are incredibly low. But we also see that Romney's tax rate is actually even lower than the base 15% for someone who makes their money exclusively from returns on their money. And that means that his lawyers, his accountants, the people that I call the wealth defense industry, have been working overtime to defend his wealth and make sure that he pays a vastly lower rate than the average American citizen.
And that has been the story of our recent politics. There have been a number of occasions where the Republican Party has gone to the mat to extend the Bush tax cuts. And particularly the Tea Party caucus, who came in as a populist movement, but now are zealous defenders of the millionaires and billionaires. It's pretty clear that the millionaires and billionaires have the power to essentially, in Washington, to get their way in the face of a president who is trying to bring about a little more fairness, and a public who recently polled by the Pew Research Institute overwhelmingly believe that the disparity in wealth in this country has reached obscene proportions.
Yeah, you know, this thing that I refer to as the wealth defense industry, it has been working for decades basically off stage. It has kept the process of increasing wealth in fewer and fewer hands, and especially the political part of that process. It's kept kept it very much off the radar screen. And what's interesting about a Romney candidacy, and when people see this kind of tax return, and even when they see things like the Koch brothers and Sheldon Adelson and others sort of in a very brazen way bursting out into the open, this is exposing America's oligarchs at a time when anger and frustration among the average American household, in the average American household, is quite high. And so in a certain sense, a Romney presidency is a bit risky for America's oligarchs, because it would be placing someone in the White House who really accentuates this disparity between how the system works in Washington for the average person in a kind of an open way, and then how it works behind the scenes when you have literally thousands of high-paid lawyers, accountants, wealth management professionals, and so on, who are all working 24/7 year-round to make sure that your wealth is preserved, and that really tax burdens shift on to everyone else. And if the ultra wealthy, like Romney, are only paying 13.9%, and other levels in the society are paying much higher levels, that means that the very wealthy are winning the battle of keeping more of their money than the average American does, which means the costs for everything that we pay for are shifted onto people less able to pay.
And just to get the exact figures here, Romney's return showed that he will pay $6.2 million in taxes on $42.5 million in combined 2010 and 2011 income. And in 2010, he paid 13.9% tax rate, and in 2011, he will pay a 15.4% tax rate. And
yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, just to put that in some perspective, these numbers are huge, but what do they really mean? Well, first of all, Romney is about 10 times more wealthy than George Bush Sr. and about 50 times more wealthy than Barack Obama. But the really interesting gap is that Romney is about 1,800 times as wealthy as the average American household. And just about every 3 days, he earns, just passively, doing nothing, he earns the equivalent of the total net worth of the average American household. So this is an enormous gap between him and the average American that he's supposed to somehow be able to represent or relate to.
Well, he already said when he recently, before he released his tax returns, and he obviously prevaricated quite a bit and made an issue out of it and was essentially forced to do so. But when he did mention the, he said, I pay somewhere around 15%. And he added to that, putting his foot further in his mouth by saying that he got $375,000 in speaking fees in, I think it was 2010, but that's not much money, he said, $375,000. Now, your book, again, Jeffrey Winter is a professor of political science at Northwestern University. He's author of the new book, Oligarchy. Your new book, Oligarchy, goes into historical comparisons with ancient Athens and Rome, medieval Europe, Indonesia, Singapore, and the Philippines. In your Huffington Post article, Romney, a nobody among the ultra-wealthy but rich enough to stick out as president, you say that the net worth of the richest 500 to 1,000 oligarchs in the U.S. is about 20,000 times that of the average American household in the bottom 90%. That's twice the wealth concentration of the senators of Imperial Rome, who were only 10,000 times richer than the average small farmer or slave who populated that empire. So the American empire is breaking records here.
Well, that's right. I mean, one of the points I wanted to make in that piece is that although this would really be an unusually wealthy person to be in the White House, literally we have to go all the way back to George Washington to find somebody as wealthy as Mitt Romney were he to win. But the other point is that you know, Romney is actually small potatoes among those who are above him in the pecking order. And so it just puts into perspective how incredibly concentrated wealth has become in very few hands in the United States. It has actually not been like this since the robber baron era of the end of the 19th century. And so the 20th century was really a process of setback initially for the wealthy and gains for the average American. But that got reversed in the last part of the 20th century. And now we're at a situation once again where the average person is really struggling. And the downturn we saw after 2008 was L-shaped for the average American. That is, there was a plunge, and then the line didn't go back up again. It remained flat. But for the wealthy, there was also a downturn, but it was V-shaped. It went back up again, and they've come back with a vengeance. And that disparity, L-shaped for one part of society and V-shaped for the other, explains a lot about the frustration and the anger we're seeing both in some levels in the Tea Party and also in the Occupy movement.
Again, I'm speaking with Jeffrey Winters, professor of political science at Northwestern University and the author of the new book, Oligarchy. He has an article at the Huffington Post, Romney, a nobody among the ultra-wealthy, but rich enough to stick out as president. The president, in his State of the Union address tonight, is expected to talk about the growing income disparity and to strike a populist tone, which he first exhibited recently in a small town in Kansas, where Teddy Roosevelt made a famous speech that the president sort of channeled a little. Do you think that given our discussion and then the ironic extent, I guess, well, not putting words in your mouth, but essentially it looks like Citizens United that opened the floodgates of special interest money, unlimited amount of money without any attribution, have created this phenomenon of the super PAC, and Romney used it in Iowa against Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich in turn with Sheldon Adelson, the billionaires, I think the eighth richest American, got revenge in South Carolina, and now Adelson's Israeli-born wife has kicked in another $5 million for Newt Gingrich in Florida. So this is the battle of the billionaires going on here. Do you think that the president can exploit the disquiet in the American public about this money capturing our politics?
Well, I think he's going to try, but President Obama also has a problem, which is both parties, in fact, are heavily funded by the ultra-wealthy. I've described the Republican Party as organized selfishness and the Democratic Party as organized selfishness with guilt. They've both been tapping into, for a very long time, tremendous wealth at the top to fund themselves, and both parties, with some variation, have been responding to the interests of the ultra wealthy. Let's remember that the tremendous gap in incomes, which has opened up over the last 30 to 40 years, has been under both Democratic and Republican leaderships. And President Obama himself has taken enormous sums of money from Wall Street, and he has responded to them. Almost bending over backward to try to make sure that people in the financial sector are well protected and that their interests are met. So I understand why Obama feels a need now to talk a certain line. But I'm skeptical, frankly, given the first 3 years of his presidency, that he is really going to fight this fight with the kind of vigor that's needed if the balance is going to be restored so that the average American household can once again start making gains. They haven't done so since 1970.
But surely, Jeffrey Winters, if the president doesn't want to engage in what the Republicans call class warfare, in his State of the Union speech, he could at least do a critique of capitalism and the kind of financial alchemy that Mitt Romney's fortune represents, and that extends to all the hedge fund people. And this general critique of modern American capitalism, where the financial industries have a growing percentage of the GDP in this country to the point where it is starting to get extremely unhealthy because the financial industries do not create wealth, they extract wealth. And this is, I think, a valid critique, surely.
Sure, but let me put it in some perspective. So we see today, for example, that Mitt Romney, among other things, has placed money in the Cayman Islands, in Swiss bank accounts, what we call the offshore world. And one of the reasons that very wealthy people place their money offshore is to shelter it from taxes, to be able to make it difficult to figure out how much money is even being made. In 2009, President Obama went into the Rose Garden and announced that he was going to start getting serious about all of this offshore money and the fact that the wealthiest Americans are avoiding, and the more dirty word is evading, paying taxes by using this offshore system. So Obama comes forward in 2009, and he says, my proposal is to upgrade the IRS in the following ways and hire more people to go after this money. And then the big gong at the end of the speech was, and we hope to save $8.9 billion over 10 years. Well, the losses, according to the Senate, its own data, the losses by this offshore world are somewhere around $70 billion per year. So Obama's proposal was going to save close to about 1% of the total loss over 10 years. So it was great grandstanding, but it wasn't real solid change in policy. And unless people have those numbers in front of them, they don't know that it really amounted to grandstanding. So these kinds of numbers are what make me skeptical.
Well, corporate America parks a lot of its money in these tax shelters in the Cayman Islands, along with the oligarchs, to cut down their
taxes. That's true, Ian. Yeah. That's true, Ian. But the number I gave, $70 billion per year, that's only from individuals. It's much larger number if we include corporations.
Sure. So then I'm just, you know, trying to figure out what the president's going to talk about, because there's a expectation that he's going to talk about the disparity of wealth and hint at Romney's being the poster boy for the 1%. I imagine, though, that at the very least, the hedge fund managers are getting nervous about the way this presidential campaign's working out, with all of this stuff being revealed, and particularly with the tax returns today of Romney's indicating that they pay less than 15%. As Warren Buffett said, you know, they pay less than the rate that their secretaries pay. And this, of course, is they're protected by Democrats like Chuck Schumer in the Senate, Wall Street are. But do you think that this ability to make money out of money and to carry your interests, which is, you know, I think Romney's making money out of money he made 10 years ago, isn't he?
Yes. So I think you make a very good point, which is that any focusing on this issue, which is, first of all, how a small number of people are making enormous sums of money and paying incredibly low taxes on them, and how they're using a wealth defense industry to shuttle their money around a global map of offshore accounts, and how they use lobbyists and wealth management professionals to insert paragraphs and loopholes and other kinds of things into the 72,000 pages of tax code. Insofar as all of this gets increasing exposure, it has got to make wealthy people in the United States nervous, because they've benefited for decades from the fact that all of this is not seen. Very little of this is talked about. And from their point of view, the longer that remains the case, the better. So Citizens United, in a perverse way, is actually damaging the interests of the ultra-wealthy, because folks like the Koch brothers have been unable to restrain themselves from jumping in and throwing around many, many millions of dollars, engaging in open political battles that oligarchs in the United States usually use proxies for. And so the heat is turning up on the wealthy, and if it continues along these lines, then real pressure is going to start to mount on political leaders in Congress and people like Barack Obama to start really doing something about it. So it's a time for oligarchs to be nervous.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Jeffrey Winters.
It's my pleasure, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Jeffrey Winters, who's a professor of political science at Northwestern University. He's the author of the new book, Oligarchy, and he has an article at the Huffington Post, Romney, a nobody among the ultra-wealthy, but rich enough to stick out as president. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about Prime Minister Netanyahu's shadow campaign to defeat Obama. That's how we start the show. Eagle soar and oil flow. You didn't decide what you chose. We will pay back what they owe. Crime depends from who you sold. We cheer for the villains though. Hustling, bustling, getting low. Motion is perpetual. We call jugs to give and go. All you reap is what you sow. No, where are the controls? Mass of individuals consuming as ritual. You ain't hear them say ride slow. Dude, don't let them play us.